Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org. The following is a message from the Heritage Meat Shop.
Are you tired of just hearing buzzwords? Do you want to actually take part in the food revolution? Then come on down to the Heritage Meat Shop, located in New York's historic Essex Street Market, on the corner of Essex and Delancey. We have rare breed pork, beef, poultry, lamb, and goat, not to mention charcuterie that'll make you squeal. All raised right, by the right people, so you know they'll taste right. Try the meat that over 100 New York chefs ache for. Come to the Heritage Meat Shop and pick up some revolution today.
For more information, visit heritagemeatshop.com.
Listening to Let's Eat In, the only show on Heritage Radio Network hosted by myself, Kathy Irway. And we're here today at Roberta's. It's a beautiful, sunny summer Monday. That just killed the alliteration, but it was great yesterday on Sunday and Saturday, too. Today, we're chatting with a couple of awesome folks who I'm proud to say I know, and I've cooked alongside as well. It's Mike and Josh Greenfield of the Brothers Green.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
Thanks for coming on. So you guys have a new cooking show, and it's called The Brothers Green.
Yeah, we do. It just came out on Hungry, which is YouTube's new food network, per se.
Per se. Yeah. We like to call it the new food network.
And it's online only, no TV, so you can watch it whenever.
Yeah.
And the episodes are rolling out now once a week. So you had the first episode that just aired last week, July 2nd, I think.
Yeah, and today was the second for us.
So it's every Monday they air the episode somewhere around now.
Oh, I guess. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can check it out now. The second
new episode out.
You can watch us cooking weird stuff today.
Is that today's episode?
Today's was a weird one, yeah. We've been trying out a lot of different things because the format's pretty open, and we like to just see what works and maybe what people respond to. So today was Mike and I. We each got some sort of weird ingredients for the other person to try to cook just to see like what our cooking skills and our creativity were like.
Uh-huh.
Josh got me a tampon.
Yeah.
What? Really?
He said I needed to learn how to use it. It's about time.
It was about that time, yeah.
What did you cook with a tampon?
I just slapped it out of his hands. It was all a joke.
I see.
Yeah.
But it was definitely the episode where we got weird with it, you could say.
Yeah, something like with tripe, I think.
I had tripe. Involved. Josh had aloe and liver and white chocolate. And it was interesting, to say the least.
Liver and white chocolate and
nectarines. Or no, apricots. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it was cool. It wasn't, I mean, there were a lot of food challenge shows out there. It wasn't quite like we were pressed for time. It was just wanted to do something a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times on food shows, everything's already set up and people know what they're getting. So we wanted to try to do something a little more creative, and not just for ourselves, but also for the crew to sort of challenge them.
Yeah, definitely threw off the crew because there was a lot of Food Network people, and you know, Food Network is pretty structured overall. Uh-huh. So it was a learning experience that day.
Yeah.
It was the end. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a funny episode, but it was definitely throwing people off a little bit.
And is this something that you guys would just normally do when you're cooking at home, like just?
Well, that's the point. I think we do that a lot, you know, because we're working with leftover ingredients and we're trying to get rid of everything in our fridge, so a lot of times there are some weird combinations of food.
So it's kind of like cinema verite of the Brothers Green loft.
I mean, you've been there. It gets a little strange.
It seemed like it, yeah.
Some people call it the Willy Wonka kitchen.
It's something like that mixed with like a college like dorm kind of setting, because people are walking into their apartment all the time.
Yeah.
The door is just like wide open.
It definitely feels like college.
It's a dorm for grown-ups for sure.
And then they have a huge like garden operation on the roof. They've like taken over this whole building's roof with their plants.
Yes, we have.
And
they look great until I went away this weekend and I have them on a watering system now. So for the most part, they're great, but 1/3 of them is not on the watering system. And my roommate kind of forgot about watering them for 2 days. And I went up there today because I got back from the beach and they were roughed up.
Oh,
there was a good amount. So I actually wanted to ask you what is a good thing to plant now, because I might have to replant a few things.
I would say for planters, I would go maybe get some seedlings of tomato plants.
Yeah.
Like, what do you need? Like,
well, we have a lot of tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers and herbs, like something that might be an end of the season type.
You should totally plant some of the brassicas, like broccoli, cauliflower.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff that'll
come in like fall.
Yeah, kohlrabi maybe or like some nice kales. I know that doesn't sound too exciting, but also summer squash or winter squashes too.
Winter squash, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay. Hopefully those ones will recover, though.
Yeah,
we'll see. It seems like 4th of July is always the weekend where the plants die. I had the first time I started the garden.
Or it's because I go away every weekend, and then I leave them with you guys, and then they get destroyed. Well,
I would have gladly taken care of them, but Michelle's like, I'm really enjoying watering the plants, so.
Yeah, interesting.
Okay.
But,
that'll be the last time, Michelle, if you're listening.
No, So 4th of July 4 years ago, it was the first time I did a garden. I didn't have that much. I had a couple tomatoes, cucumbers, and some herbs. And I went away for 4th of July, and I ended up staying a few extra days. And I remember I was pulling up to my apartment, and I was like, oh, God. John was like, so who is watering your plants?
That's exactly what happened this morning. I was like, so Michelle, how are the plants? And her face just went white. She was like, oh, shit. It was 2 days in the blistering hot sun.
Yeah. Ouch.
But it's really cool, actually. It's good to see how resilient plants are. They're like people, you know. You can burn them. Yeah, and some of them die and some of them spring back. So
that's my job right now. We'll see how resilient these are.
So do you use some of these vegetables for your cooking show?
When we filmed a few months ago, so there really wasn't much in except herbs that kind of came back that were perennial. But we're going to do more filming in August and September, and hopefully that's when, you know, they'll really be coming in nice.
Nice.
So I like cooking with, you know, the fresh ingredients and showing that because it's interesting for people to see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And that's we'll what you do because it's a show about the real life.
the real
Brothers
stuff.
Green. Yeah. So, what is The Hungry? You guys were saying it's a lot of Food Network. People who left the Food Network.
Well, I think it was people that wanted to do something different because Food Network has its market. They have their thing, and there's not necessarily that much for a younger audience. So they started the Food Channel, which definitely helped.
Or the Cooking Channel.
The Cooking Channel. But I think YouTube was trying to look at the situation. They said, okay, people put up all these videos online, like these instructional videos, but a lot of them are really low budget and they're not done very well. And people are going on YouTube to look for instruction. So why don't we try to put something together and put in some more money into it and find people that are good. And not just personalities, but people that actually have a passion for cooking and love to do it and are doing interesting things.
So people who were making good videos before but could just use a little boost.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we had a show called UNORC, which is still online, that we used to do. And we were doing it with one camera and it was turning out pretty well. So it's been a really cool experience. And they have 4 shows online right now and they're all very different, but they cover like a good spectrum of what maybe people are looking for.
Mm-hmm. And those were all scooped up from people who are just doing the videos themselves.
Yeah, people doing different things.
And they also brought in some people that like Duff from Ace of Cakes, who's kind of the liaison from Cooking or Food Network. So they have, you know, like one big sort of celebrity that can kind of transfer his.
Oh, so his show is on The Hungry too.
So I think he was a little board or whatever of Ace of Cakes or the Food Network, and he wanted, you know, a new beginning. So he's just doing like a variety show where he can really
He's doing
like,
a variety show.
He's kind of like a crazier guy. So he just wanted to
him in like this white tux. And like, so
they're calling it a variety show. I'm not really sure what it is, but it sounds like he's just doing whatever he wants, and that's like why he's a partner in this Hungry.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's called Duff's World. So I mean, it's food based, but they're giving him a lot of freedom.
And did they give you guys a lot of freedom?
Surprisingly,
it was pretty good. Yeah, we had. Yeah,
they're really cool. Electus is the company that handles the whole channel, and they're really good. It's a small like section for the food, so everyone's very hands-on. And I think, unlike from what I've heard from Food Network stuff, it's kind of like you have the talent does the cooking, but they're told sort of what to do for the most part. Like we're developing all the recipes, we're actually cooking on the show. We have food stylists that help, and they do the shopping, and we work together. So it's a very like team effort. Mm-hmm. Everyone plays a role, and we're always developing the episodes and trying to make them better. And listening to, like, I mean, the cool thing about YouTube is you get user comments. So like
we see
like hundreds of people are writing like, you know, this is great, or this like sucks. Why are they not talking to the camera? Like what is wrong with these guys? Yeah, there's a lot of different comments, and it's cool to see that because we're really trying to help people feel more confident and inspire them to just get in the kitchen and have a good time and invite friends over. And we want to know what people think and like what the best ways are to do that. And we feel good about what we do, but we still like getting feedback.
And the one thing that's cool about your show is that, we'll find out really soon, but you guys are musicians, so the show ends with a song.
Yeah, there's always a band. Every episode has like a local band from Brooklyn come in, and we think there's a really strong community of people that are doing really cool things, and we want to help spread that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big part of starting UNORC in the first place and doing a cooking show. We can kind of bring everyone together, and you know, that's what we're doing. It's just our friends coming over, you know, the bands that we enjoy that we hang out with, and they're just coming to play some
and
music.
What do they think now of all the like camera crew when they come over?
I think they're like,
release
whoa,
forms maybe
we didn't expect this. Yeah. You guys are actually legit.
It is a little surreal seeing, like, we've been doing this stuff for years now and really crafting like and honing our skill to be able to throw parties and bring people together and make them feel comfortable in their own skin. So now to go from that,
not in someone else's skin.
No, it's always good to be comfortable in your own skin. You're choosing between the two. Oh, yeah. I know people are comfortable in my own skin than somebody else's. But even
you were though. you came on a show and you experienced the craziness and the music and the.
I don't know how you guys do it because you guys had spent a whole day like just taping that one episode.
Yeah.
You handled it so naturally, and like whenever like they were shooting and you guys were talking and they asked you to say it again or like put that meatball just over there again. Like,
see that
I
meatball? I
want to
see that green speck right on the left side. Just angle
just
it
move
90
it,
degrees.
Yeah. Or like I don't have the patience for that, but you guys did great. So.
I think it's like
kudos.
Just training. Like we've been filmed for the last 2 years, and we just kind of, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. Maybe our dad just told us decent patience.
Common courtesy. Yeah.
well, our dad's a doctor, and you can't be a doctor without patience.
Ka-ching.
Very important.
So what are you guys gonna play for us now?
See. We've got a little song we can whip out.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's angle this thing down.
Alright, this is totally live impromptu jam session. I'm not gonna sing, so
you can sing along if you want.
Okay,
Kathy's
might
actually
sing
a great singer if you guys don't know
I'm
that.
I'm terrible.
Away, yeah, I will break away. Hell in my mind. favor, just cherish what you have. It's rarely the good things that make you feel so bad. I don't know what to say on a typical day. You didn't see it coming, you gotta think that way. But I was always fine, just doing what I love. Yeah, you were always mine, just sent it from above. But what do you gotta say when things will be okay? Yeah, I will break away.
Excellent. Good stuff. I didn't expect that. That was so good. Well, I should have, but amazing. So was that one of your own songs, Josh? Or
yeah, that's
Mike?
A song. How much written? I don't know. Maybe last year. I've written like 1,000 songs in the past couple of years. So it's. I always say New York is like living in dog years. Well, every year is about 7 years. So
stressful.
I've been here for about 35 years.
That's so true. Yeah. So is that song going to be played with your band, Canon Logic?
It was interesting. I wrote that song, I guess, last year, and we have it on an old episode of our old show, UNORC. We have it on there. And then one day, one of the guys in my band came in with a new song, and they actually sounded really similar, so we ended up kind of meshing the two together. I was
that's
like, oh, that's
really
got
neat.
A similar rhythm and like similar chord structure. So
it's group songwriting.
Yeah.
That is.
Group songwriting.
And Mike, you're singing the backup and doing the keyboards there. Are you going to be involved with the new song and the mashup version?
I have no part of the Canon Logic. Okay. I get that a lot because, you know, I'm always with Josh. But
he's been a big supportive role over the years.
Yeah.
Biggest fan.
I've definitely been one of the biggest fans for about 7 years now since they started. But I just like playing music and, you know, I'm with Josh all the time. So we play together. And I'm always down to sing a harmony or play along
the tambourine.
On the piano.
Yeah. You guys have like 80 tambourines in your apartment, it seems.
Well, a lot of times when we play, I mean, one of the things, it's just like cooking. When you have people over, you want to get them involved. Mm-hmm. Same with music, because no matter what like level you're at, whether you've never really done it before, you're doing it for a while, like anyone can play music. I mean, you can grab a tambourine.
Are we saying now food is the new rock and roll? Because
I don't know, maybe we're on to something
emerging.
I feel like I've been hearing this term, or the food is the new music, forever.
Well, it's like Food Network made cooking and food, I think, mainstream, but maybe the Hungry Channel is trying to make it a little cooler.
Yeah. Well, it comes naturally to you guys because you're creative, you're inspired, you invent dishes, and same goes for music.
They go hand in hand. It's they're both great platforms.
I didn't mean to make a mockery of that. It's just like I've been hearing this term so much lately.
No, it's true. I think they just balance each other really well. I mean, I've been in music for a long time, and I've always loved food. And I started cooking for people to support myself on my broke music lifestyle. But I think that they just really complement each other well, because you can play music and you can, you know, play with people and connect, and then you can eat. And
well,
maybe
I should
important.
Take up more music stuff with my broke food lifestyle.
It's good.
So you're coming from the opposite.
They just say like good food, good music, and good people. It's like you can't really beat that.
Yeah,
and I think they're like the most essential. You can go back to like thousands of years ago and like tribal times when people had nothing. They're still playing music, even if it's drum circles, and they're eating and the dancing and all these things are like
it's
very
meant
basic.
To be shared.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's a nice combination.
And I think that's one of the cool things about the show is for as many people that you see come into our house and they're always like in and out, we can't necessarily invite the whole world over as much as I'd like to. Sometimes accidentally.
As Josh would like to.
Yeah. But we can show that, and we can spread it, and someone can maybe watch an episode and see what we're doing and then do
and
that
see,
themselves and
see
somewhere
what
else.
The building looks like and then try to crash the party.
Crash exactly.
No, but if we can get people to actually throw their own parties that are interested in doing it and see that it's not hard. I mean, all the food we're making is really basic stuff. We're not crazy chefs. Or
but you do fun things with it. Like the episode that I was happy to come join on was pasta. And you guys made a couple basic sauces, Alfredo and then a tomato sauce. And then you did some crazy sauce and then made some meatballs. And everyone digs into pasta.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that one thing that people forget about pasta is that you're so used to seeing it in an individual platter with all the sauce poured on top mm-hmm. of individual plates. But really, I think the pasta was more of like a family style serving where you have a big bowl and then you toss it all together mm-hmm. and then you put it on everybody's yeah. plates.
And it's also simple things like making your own dough and, you know, rolling out your own pasta that I think in a party situation that makes all the difference, and people are very interested, and, you know, it's just like a different taste that people aren't used mm-hmm. to, which is yeah. nice.
Yeah, that's true. That and was some good pasta dough.
Yeah, it was, yeah. you know, and if people just kind of have some time to take that extra step, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's like two ingredients. It's the most simple thing in the world, too.
Yeah, and I guess
flour,
we're just trying to
egg.
Yeah, we're just trying to show how easy it is to take that next step, which right. you know, you hear homemade pasta dough or pizza dough and people might, you know, back off a little right. bit, but it's not too hard.
Yeah.
When did you start learning how to make pasta and pizza and all this stuff? Within like,
I think a lot of that kind of stuff came from, I know personally it came from when I moved here and I didn't have much money and I would just buy this thing of flour and see what I could do with it. And the first time you make dough and you're like, oh, it's not that hard. Even to make like simple dough, like without yeast, you can just take mm-hmm. flour, water, and a little bit of salt, and you can like grill the dough up and you make these like flatbreads. And you're like, wait a minute, this tastes great, and it didn't right. take long.
I remember
and the leftovers, I can make crumbs and all sorts of
yeah, exactly. Yeah. When I came up to I guess visit Josh, he was like, will you check on the package downstairs? I got 50 pounds of flour. he would buy bulk flour for like $10 and, you know.
Just, and you could live off that for
I don't know, something like 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, so basically you weren't raised by, you know, Italian grannies with this ingrained knowledge. You just took it up upon yourself.
Yeah, simple stuff.
And raised by a Jewish mother who went to the supermarket and bought
stuff.
Well, I mean, that's how it started. Like, my mom's become a much better cook since. We've all kind of pushed each other. But at the beginning, I would remember she would make, like, you know, box pasta, frozen meatballs, and, like, canned sauce. And we would be little brats, and we would just not like it. You know, and I was like, well, I hate spaghetti and meatballs. And my friends at school would be like, how do you hate spaghetti and meatballs? This is, like, the greatest thing in the world. And then, of course, I went to one of their houses, and their parents were Italian, and they made fresh sauce and like fresh meatballs and all this stuff, and I was blown away. And the first time I had fresh pasta, it took me years to realize how simple it was, because right. I was like, well, because I actually ate it at a really high-end restaurant for someone's party once, and like I remember we were at the kids' table, so all we got was just plain pasta, and they were like, okay, so you guys have a choice between like red, green, or white sauce. Okay. And I was like really upset because everyone else is eating like filet and all the calamari and all this stuff. And I just got a bowl of pasta, fresh pasta with red sauce, and it like just destroyed my mind. It was so delicious. But yeah, for years, probably 10 years later, I started making it.
And so you've come a long way.
Come a long way.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the next episodes. And by any chance, are any of them going to focus on a date meal? No?
That's a great idea.
You should totally do
next
that.
Next season.
Well, we film 6 days, but we have capability to film a lot more without using, I think, as big of a crew.
You should have a double date. Each invite somebody. And then, yeah, that would be fun.
I remember when Josh came on your show last year, you were talking about date night.
Oh, yeah.
He said pizza.
Yeah, said pizza.
Yeah, because, you know, you're involved. You're rolling dough out together.
Mike's gotten lucky a few times with my pizza trick.
Since that, yeah, since that moment. Every first date, pizza. Works like a
good
charm.
Advice. So what would you say was your perfect date meal?
I used to make pizza, definitely.
Okay. I guess that answers it.
Yeah, I mean, I think pizza's great because it's hard to go wrong. We had a line on our first episode. It said, pizza's like sex, even the worst pizza is still pizza. Yeah. So,
it's still good, right?
Yeah. So it's like, if you roll out a dough or even buy a dough in the store and you just throw on something and put in the oven, it's mm-hmm. going to be all right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind
and fresh
of
and yummy.
It's as stress-free as, I guess, something okay. can be for a first date. But if you can roll it out with the girl or the guy, whatever.
Cool. Yeah. Have you changed in your
I've
perfect
been,
date
I've been
meal,
doing
Josh?
A lot of my girlfriend now. We've been cooking a lot of meals, and she's gluten free, so like the whole bread thing's kind of got thrown out the window.
Yeah.
So what we've been doing is a lot of just like making like grilling a lot of different vegetables or like sauteing like really good vegetables and then like taking some kind of meat. Like we, last night we made burgers and we did kale and then like I made like spicy pickled beets and just kind of getting a platter together and having like lettuce and sort of just making lettuce wraps and you can feed each other and it's very hands on. We don't use any utensils, so we eat with our hands.
It just got real.
So I mean, we like to eat with our hands and it's fun to like lick your fingers or lick the other person's fingers.
All right,
I just think things like that where like you're getting either regardless of what it is, like pizza too, like where you get people to interact and like mm-hmm. it's very like touchy feely and you get a good sense of whether the person likes you or not very quickly depending on whether they're willing to do certain things in the kitchen.
Yeah,
you can always tell. Yeah, that first meal.
Break those
also
walls.
I like cooking things that are lighter because you always want to feel good on a first date. You don't want to just eat like a full, huge meal. Mm. Like even if you're making pizza, keep it on the easy, you know, the lighter
thin
side.
Crust.
You know, just maybe mm-hmm. serve a nice salad with like a light vinaigrette.
Right.
Just to, you know, you want to feel good on a first date.
Yeah, you don't want to be bloated.
Thing, yeah, you don't want to be sitting there.
I have
the
a quick
couch.
Side note question. Have you ever seen Trailer Park Boys?
No.
It's a show. But this guy looks just like Corey, doesn't he? I was trying to figure out who he is.
we're watching
so
out.
So many characters out in
can they
Edward
see
Bertos.
Us?
They can't hear us, but they can certainly
right, see
us.
Because I can see their pizza, and it sure is making
I know.
Me hungry.
I know. Good. Speaking of pizza, we're in the perfect place.
This place is, I hear, like, just the greatest things about it.
Oh, how do you make a pizza dough, like, crisp up really well if you don't have a brick oven? Like these fancy pizza places
there's
do.
A few...
Like a wood
there's
burning.
There's a few keys to that. One is I've been grilling a lot of pizzas. So
okay.
propane or charcoal grill. That is, like, the closest thing you
do
can
you,
do to mimic
with a, stone,
a brick
right?
oven.
Do you put the dough directly on the grill?
So you roll out the dough. I like putting oil on it because it will crisp it up
mm-hmm.
nicely. You can do flour as well. And then you throw it on the one side... And once it heats up, it will release, and then you turn it over and then sauce it up and put the cheese on.
Okay.
Cover it like a oven, like a convection oven,
uh-huh.
and then it will cook through.
I'm just always scared of the dough just slipping through the slats into the
that's
fire
the thing. Once,
into the coals.
Once it heats up, which, you know,
uh-huh.
a grill, keep it on high heat
high.
At first.
Okay.
It will just release and
okay.
it will harden
and
up.
Then flip it.
Yeah.
All right.
And then the other trick is... putting it as close to the oven lamp as possible. So if your lamp is, you know, on the bottom, the heating element of
I
your
see.
Oven, put the oven on as high as it can go, 500 degrees, and then throw the pizza in on like a sheet pan first and cook it a little bit and then slide it off right onto the rack so it's getting the direct heat. Yeah.
Oh.
That's another trick. So it's like...
So you don't have to buy the stones, which is direct heat from the stone or whatever.
You can buy the stones too, but you know, most people don't.
Oh, that's a good trick. I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
Slip it off like a Houdini, like whoop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once it's firmed up a little bit, it should just slide right off.
Same idea.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
We make a lot of pizza. We've had a lot of first dates. You can tell.
Well, thank you for that insight. What can we look forward to next on Cooking with the Green Brothers?
I think I'm guessing you hanging out with us.
Okay,
pasta episode.
My pasta episode.
I can't say for sure.
Taco episode.
Yeah, one
taco
of those.
Party episode.
I actually thought
cool.
the pasta maybe went out the best. That was one of our last episodes, and I think at that point we had a really good flow because
mm-hmm.
every episode we would try different things, and that one. Felt really comfortable and felt good and everyone knew what they were doing.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
So,
all right.
And we had you on, which is great.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for having us on.
How do people watch the show? Just go to YouTube and Google
just
the Brothers
Green. Just go to youtube.com/hungry.
/hungry.
Or,
and we'll
or
be
you
on
can
there.
Just YouTube Brothers Green. That
the
works
Brothers
as
Green.
Well.
All right. Check it out soon. Also, check out UNORC, your original show.
UNORC.com.
UNORC.com. And your band, The Canon Logic. Josh's band.
Yeah.
Cool.
TheCanonLogic.com.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for being on air.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And
so
congrats
much.
On the show. Thanks, everyone at Heritage, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our programs archived on our website or by searching iTunes for Heritage Radio Network. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website. Thanks for listening. You know a man can't grow.